You know, Joe, yesterday you asked me a question. Seemed like you were on the market for a new jersey. And you asked me, Nathan, how long is the shipping going to take if I use our trusty website? Joe, what website did you use to order a brand new jersey yesterday?
Of course, it was ElmontYouthSoccer.com.
That's a smart man right there. ElmontYouthSoccer.com is where Joey went to get a brand new jersey. Which one did you get?
I got the 2010-2011 Inter Milan kit.
Ah, because as you remember, Elmont Youth Soccer doesn't just have the modern jerseys, bro. It's got all-time classics as well. When you go to ElmontYouthSoccer.com, everybody, you're going to find the greatest jersey collection known to man and start building your very own jersey collection. Now, what if I were to sweeten the deal a little more? What if I were to tell you that when you enter the promo code TJW10 at checkout, you'd save 10% on your order? Joe, when you did that yesterday, how did it feel?
Bro, it felt so good.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Makes good financial sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course. Come on, 10% off. Any off is good. But 10% off? Come on, you got double digits off. Come on, guys. Come on.
Guys, go to ElmontYouthSoccer.com right now. The link is in our description. Click that link. Find the greatest jerseys on planet Earth. And at checkout, enter the promo code TJW10 to save 10% on your entire order. With that, today, Joe and I are going to rebuild Chelsea. We hope you enjoy. Joe, I feel like Mark's got you on a collar right now. Like you're chomping at the bit trying to start this thing. You're like, bro, let me at him. I want to tell you all about all of the grievances I have with this club and everybody leaving at once and all the money we're going to have to spend this summer and what we can do
to
rise back to the level of a City and Liverpool. But hold on. The first thing I have to ask you, Joe, last week we started the podcast with the call signs from Top Gun. All right. We've established I'm coach. Have you picked your call sign yet, Joe?
No, not yet.
Wait, listen.
Do you make your own?
This is what you got to do, bro.
Okay.
You got to know what people call you. What do people call you?
Joester, bro.
Joester. That's the Joe Joester Alashkar.
Yeah. Well, Joester. It's actually Joester Toaster.
Right.
That's my user ID. So it's a full
thing.
We
might start calling you JT then. We might just have to abbreviate it. We'll make the call sign. JT, bro, because it works. John Terry, JT. All right, bro.
Let's go. That's my call sign, JT.
Welcome to episode number 147 of the Jersey Wall Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mr. Nathan Santos, a.k.a. Master Chef Nate, a.k.a. Coach. That with me today, we're high energy today because we're excited. We're going to run a tight ship today, is apparently JT, a.k.a. Joe, a.k.a. Joe Leb, a.k.a. the Lebanese Sensation, Joey Dynamite. All these nicknames, bro. We got monikers FC over here.
This week,
we're so amped to get started. We actually are not going to have time for a Bro Talk segment this week, but in weeks going forward, we'll be experimenting with Bro Talks at different times during the episode. Sometimes it'll start it, sometimes it'll end it. We want to kind of see where we're going to fit it. Yeah. But for now, I know that we're on a tight schedule today, Joey, so you and I are going to dive right into the action. What are we talking about today, Joe?
Nathan, we are talking about a Chelsea rebuild, baby. You know, I know you love your rebuilds.
I love rebuilds. It's a TJW special. Ain't nobody do it like us, bro.
You know, Nate, you know, look, I'm sorry to get you guys all down. You know, I'm a pretty realistic man when it comes to my team. But other teams, you know me, I go crazy. I'm like,
right.
Bro, Diaby. Joe, Diaby left last year. I don't care. Bring him back.
All right, bro.
I
want to hear all the names. We're going to go through it as we normally do. And you guys will know. If it's your first rebuild, welcome. Here's what we do with rebuilds. What do we normally call it, bro? Fantasy meets reality with a twist of FIFA career mode. That's how we like to approach these because it makes it a little bit more fun, right? 100%. Now, the last few rebuilds that we've done have been pretty gigantic. The last one was United. They need an entire overhaul. Chelsea are starting almost from zero because they're losing so much of their team.
Correct.
That I have to ask. The first one, and I'm going to go through different questions with you before we actually get to the starting 11. I want to start with this one, Joe. How optimistic are you ahead of this rebuild on a scale from 1 to 10?
1 to 10, you know, 8. I'm gonna be honest with you. A lot of people in various fan bases, including ours, are kind of like going crazy, like, oh, you didn't sign anyone. I'm like, bro, when it was June back when I was younger, nobody would sign anyone, bro. Yeah. We'd wait till like the end. So for me, this is like normal.
Right.
Listen, the the club just got bought in June, actually. Right. So like in the beginning of the week, beginning of the month, sorry. So I don't know why everyone's expecting we have like 100 million signing lined up, you know?
Right.
The fact that we're where we're at right now is a miracle. The fact that we're talking about bringing players in. Also, because we kind of have no choice, right? So so that's one of the things. But listen, man, I'm excited. I trust in Tuchel. I have to trust in my new owner. You know, he's putting the money. He's putting money where his mouth is. You know, like 200 million is a decent amount. No, it's a great amount, especially with people like leaving as well. So
yeah, that's been the war chest, right? That's what they said. They said we'll have about 200 million to invest.
Yes, exactly.
And that's starting, right? That's not including necessarily player departures and sales and all that other
stuff. There you go, right? So I'm excited. I think we have the money. I think we have the talent. And I think we have the project. That's the most important thing.
And luckily, you're starting in third place. So you're starting with a Champions League place, which means that you have a lot more options of players to bring in because they know I'm not going to necessarily a rebuilding side. I'm going to a side that sure is in the process of a rebuild, but is in the Champions League and is trying to close the gap on City and Liverpool, right? It's not that, you know, you're a side who's trying to, you know, breach and get into the Chelsea territory. You are, right? You're already third.
Yeah.
So you're trying to make sure that you distance yourselves from the fourth, the fifth, the sixth who are coming up to attack and say, okay, how can I close the gap on those two guys up there?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you said it exactly like that, Nathan. And I'm ready, man. You know, I'm excited. I'm even excited from now for the next season, even though if we have no signings, but like bring someone.
We're going to talk about it. And I have to say, I have to apologize for my voice. My voice is a little raspy today. I'm not entirely sure why. I've been nursing this kind of like dry cough.
No, I'm kidding.
But no, I'm fine. I'm fine, bro. I'm feeling healthy, except for my old man back. I got an old man back, bro. I threw it out. I can't even talk about it. We're going to move on. Now, there's a few things to remember before I get into everything that we're going to discuss. And we're going to start with the departures. All right. There's a few things that we have to remember for next season when we launch into our rebuild. Mm-hmm. Next season, they're introducing five subs. Right. So in three substitution windows, you will be able to bring on and take off five players, which is massive for teams at the top because usually it's the teams at the top that have more depth. And so you're going to be able to introduce more quality. Now, what does that matter? When you're bringing in a depth piece or rotation signing, you're not necessarily bringing in a player who doesn't see the pitch. And with a team like how Chelsea have approached it the past few seasons under Tuchel, having this kind of like starting opportunity for everybody, including their depth, just makes for one very, very strong starting kind of core, right? Because it's their first team. It's the first like 18 players who all of them will get to feature a lot more regularly than just like the stapled 11.
Yeah, yeah.
The other things to remember, there's going to be 10 Champions League group games starting next season.
Wait, I totally forgot about what the hell.
Right? Because they did the Champions League shake. I'm pretty sure it starts next season, which means that there's going to be the group. Everybody's going to play at least 10 games instead of six. So that's now more opportunities for games and more game time for different players. And you're going to need the rotation. And this is why I bring this up before we talk about the clear outs. Because I know in your mind, you were like, bro, all these players are going to leave and then we're going to sell these guys. But I'm like, wait. And then the last thing, Joe, to remember is that you get a World Cup in the middle of the season.
This is so stupid. Why are they playing football right now, bro?
Why are they playing Nations League right now? I have no idea. Give these guys a damn break. This is going to be probably the most important season for depth ever, right? And so before we can talk about who's going to be out the door, I need us to remember that there's going to be a lot more games played on these players next season. And I don't think that next season we'll be looking at a Premier League that has 95 points.
No way.
Right? How can you, right? Like, surely they're going to have to rotate. And even if everybody gets four or five new signings that are prepared to kind of ride that wave and play those extra four Champions League games, and maybe they're not internationals, so they're playing, you know, or at least resting and ready to play as the club comes back, because those internationals are going to play all the way to the finals. Those guys need time off too. There's so many more games next season that quality in depth is extremely, extremely important. And I bring that up as we launch into the first order of business here, Joe, which is who stays and who goes. Like, Chelsea's clear out already, we know, is almost your entire back line has left.
Yeah.
On a free, right? So that's who.
Has left or leaving.
Yeah. Right. Christensen, Alonso, Azpilicueta, Rudiger. Four defenders already gone.
Huge. Yeah, big ones.
And that's just because they're out of contract, right?
Yeah.
Then we go into who you have, you know, speculated might leave. And I want to leave this to you. Given everything that we just mentioned about depth and about quality and all this other stuff, who do you see leaving outside of those players who have already left for free?
Well, unfortunately, I totally forgot about this 10-game stupid rule. But I think that's a complete... anyway, we'll get to that. That's a ridiculous decision. But who I think leaving is... offensively, believe it or not, we actually have a lot of options. And this is also a problem.
Right. We have to start offensively. Can't start defensively. We already named them all. They're all leaving, bro. There's nobody left.
Exactly. There's no
Thiago Silva, inshallah.
Inshallah, yeah. It's either going to be either Hakim Ziyech or Timo Werner, I think, are going to leave this season. I'll tell you why I don't think Pulisic is leaving. American owners equals, hey, I think we're going to put LeBron James of soccer somewhere in the States right now to sell some tickets. So I already know merchandising and shit is going to go all the way up. So Pulisic isn't going just because he sells shirts in the States. But States, you know, they buy everything.
Do you think they're going to put that expectation on Tuchel to say, hey, he needs to play more because we're trying to grow
100%. There's going to be a problem midway through the year. You know, we saw there's going to be a thing. And that's what I'm afraid of. And you know what? Pulisic is a very talented player.
Yeah,
we're forgetting this guy is in his early 20s too. Yep. We're putting him as like, why isn't he performing all that? You know, like he can take his time. And I trust in Pulisic. And I think, you know, last season was a bad season. Not bad season, but not as good as he was supposed to do. But coming off a big injury like that, you know, it gets to your head. And I feel that because now, like after getting injured all the time, I start realizing like, damn, this is like hard. But I think when it comes up front, I think it's either one of those two. Lukaku's gone. Yeah, he's in the talks of leaving. That peasant fucking pig.
Yeah, and you're not upset with that one. Because
I'm not. No. Absolutely. Yeah, Get out of here. You're a baby. This guy has a freaking Zlatan ego. Nothing. And Zlatan sucks too. Anyway, besides the points, we lost.
Joe's like, going for everybody.
Everybody.
I know. Mowing people down here, Joe.
So, Nathan, that's three attackers gone.
Yeah.
But,
and four defenders. That's like seven
clearances. Four defenders. Okay, and we are also, let me move down to the midfield real quick.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
We're also talking right now, you know, our midfield isn't as big as people think. Like, I think realistically, there's only four players who can play in these positions, and it's Kovacic, Conte, Jorginho, and Loftus-Cheek, actually, right? Those are the only four. And, you know, based off injuries on Kova and Conte, Conte's always injured now. Right. And Kovacic, when he gets injured, it's usually for a longer time span. So we have Jorginho and Loftus-Cheek who basically do the exact same thing or supposed to do the exact same thing.
You don't have the energizer.
Nobody covers for anyone. It's very difficult. Right. So we've been hearing things about Jorginho possibly leaving for 40 million to Napoli back again or one of these things. And I can see that. And you know what? Jorginho doesn't owe us anything and we don't owe Jorginho anything. So fair play. Thank you for everything, Jorginho. But we'll see how it goes. Right now, the biggest thing is to cover the injuries, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Kovacic and Conte, when they were playing together in the beginning of the season, it was amazing. But they got injured. Kova came back. He's back again doing well. But it's Conte, on the other hand, who's constantly injured. He just got injured again. So I'm not saying replace Conte completely and get him out. I'm just saying we need cover for that position. You know, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like he's 31, right? And he's a runner. And like you players of that age and that style, he's just put in so many kilometers in those legs that eventually he's going to run himself out. I don't think N'Golo Kante is the player who plays until his, you know, like a Fernandinho playing into his like mid to late 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's leaving everything out there now to be like, listen, I got like two or three seasons left in me when I'm fit.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it can only last so long unless he
unless
he changes something in his game. We'll come back to this in a few years that he changes something in his game where it gives him that longevity, whether it be passing, shooting, whatever. Right now, those two attributes he isn't the best at. You know, I think he's
never had to be. Yeah,
he's never had to be. So it hasn't made him adapt. But listen, man, we're looking at least seven players this season leaving. And that's a lot because we already have three confirmed, I think, or two. You know, Alonso and Aspi are talking now. And apparently, like, Tuchel needs Aspi to stay because there's no depth, bro. There's only, no matter how much money you have, there's only so many players you can bring in, bro.
Right.
Okay. Whether it be I'm dropping the money. Okay, I can drop the money, but you still have contract negotiations. You still have negotiations with the club. There's And this takes months, man. Takes months. So you can only imagine how many people you have to go to different clubs and different countries and talk to agents. Mm. It's insane. Right. We still have to train the players, fitness. It's a million things. Preseason starts next week, right?
Next week already?
Yeah, I think something like
that. Bro, Nations League isn't even done, bro. Are these players need a break? They're not even going to get one week off.
Nations League is actually ridiculous. And, you know, UEFA and FA and FIFA are just, they're treating it like early stages of the NBA where like, oh, let's play like 82 games throughout this. It's not working like that. No. Right? Like this, people need to rest. It's not fair. They need to unionize. I'm not kidding. Like these players need to select a president because that's what the NBA did and just tell them like, bro, I have a family, man. Like, let me sit down. Like, Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Because it's the top quality players who are at risk here because the other ones are off from like, May, and then they're not internationals, and then they don't play again until August. Right? Like, they have such a nice offseason, but the ones at the top of their game are the ones who need to recover, man, because they get paid all this money from their club. They can't take fucking holidays.
Premier League players don't sleep, man. They just keep going. No, so anyway, but I think, we got a lot of players to leave. Now, when it comes to replacements, my friend, replacements, big name.
Yeah, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. Hold on, because we go through the team, the whole team. There's one more player who I have to ask you about getting sold, and it actually is the perfect segue for where we start into our starting 11. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of us have made any switches as to who's between the sticks, right? We both still have Mendy starting next season.
Yeah.
So this leaves us somewhere. Kepa once was a player who cost 80 million euros, who now is a benched backup who really doesn't see the pitch very often, except for a penalty shootout that he loses. Whatever, we won't hold that against him. But it happened, right? It happened. Does Kepa get sold too?
Yeah,
Kepa's it's another departure, Joe. Which means I think you might have to bring in another like decent backup too.
That's totally fine, bro. Listen, okay, Chelsea's really good at getting the oldest player who has 100 years of experience, like Willy Caballero.
Ben Foster just signed over there at Spurs, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Going to be? You're going to bring back Julio Cesar?
So we're getting this guy, this American kid, apparently has a lot of potential that we hijacked from Real Madrid.
I heard.
What's their name? Chicago Pizza? No, Chicago Fire.
No, he's from Chicago. No, but he's only 18, bro. He's born in 04, Joe.
You know what, bro? Honestly.
04.
It's honestly okay. I don't care. You know what? I'd rather have youth than I'd have like 100-year-old players, right? Because at least they can grow and all that. So it's okay. Listen, Mendy, you're a goalie, bro. You're one of the best in the world. So this is what you're going to have to do, right? More importantly, for Mendy to play those minutes is our back line. Now,
biggest issue here. So this is where we start, bro. The biggest issue is freaking filling out this damn team. And this is going to be a problem that haunts Chelsea. If it's 200 mil, they have to replace a lot of defenders because it's one thing to bring in starters, which they have to bring in at least two because they're losing two out of their back three center backs. But then they have to bring in, I would say, at least one more just as a depth piece. And this is bare bones because then you're assuming that you have current players there who can fill in those gaps when rest is needed.
Chalobah. I've brought in... All these guys.
I've brought in three center backs, two to be starters and one as cover for Thiago Silva.
Okay.
All right, bro. So I want to go through it. Start me. You can start on the right side or the left side. Doesn't really matter to me. Just tell me where you want to start. Where are we starting in this back three, Joe? Because as we know, Tuchel's not switching that up. We know he's going to keep the back three.
So listen, we'll get on the wing backs in a second.
Forget the wing backs. Just for center backs. We're going to start with left center back or right center back?
Let's go left center back.
All right, we're bringing somebody new in. We both know this.
Okay.
Right? Who you got?
Oh, me?
Yeah, start me off, bro. Left center back. Who's leading this project? Who's taking the spot of the mighty Antonio Rudiger?
Oh, man. Now, with the left center back position, we know we need that driving force. Right next to my guy, Thiago Silva, who's going to be the hold-up man. Okay, so now this could go for either side. But we already know I'm going to go with Koundé. Now, listen here, okay?
At left center back. Interesting. At left center back,
right? I was about to say, notoriously, Koundé plays as a right center back, right?
Yep.
But I think, thinking about it, next season, you know, left center back, right center back, it's kind of an interchangeable position, especially if you have that rock solid center back in the front.
Okay.
Who's my guy, Thiago Silva, right?
Right.
Now, I say left center back just because Koundé, from the list of players that I have, Kunade. Kunade, sorry. Kunde, or my bad. I don't know how to say his name. It's Julius. That's his first name.
Jules. But Jules Kunde. Kunde.
Yeah, Kunde. Kunde. Okay. Yeah, yeah. From Sofia. Yeah. Exactly, right?
Yep.
He is the more creative per se. I mean, he has more of a burst of energy compared to the rest, right? Thiago Silva is going to ping you a beautiful ball all the time, out of the, you know, most of the time. But if we're talking about that same, or not the same impact as Rudiger, but very similar impact to Rudiger, where he bursts from the left center back position, Koundé is your best bet right now. Okay. That's who I went for my left center back. Who did you go with your left center back, Nathan? Let's hear it.
Well, this is the thing. I actually went very strategic here, understanding that we both are keeping Thiago Silva as the center, as the staple of this back line.
100%.
Right? That's the most senior player in the squad. That's the right. And he will be the most senior player in the back line next season too, when we're going to surround him by young people who need to learn from his ways. What I've done is, for a long time, Antonio Rudiger has been the left-sided center back, even though he's right-footed.
Correct.
I've kind of elected to search around Europe and see, okay, is there somewhere that we can see that where there's a system that plays with the back three that has a left-sided left center back who's flourishing in that position? And I arrived at Josko Vardiol from Leipzig.
Okay.
All right, bro? Let me tell you. There's hybrid breed of this new wave of center backs coming up who are destined to be in a back three. Like, their skill set is not necessarily conducive to a back two because they like having a little bit more freedom and space and understanding.
Correct.
An anchor behind me. I have a bombing fullback here. I can push up when necessary. I'm fast and athletic.
Yes.
And I'm not one of two people responsible for this. So I don't have to have the like dog cat style of a tandem bike here. I have to have a very athletic center back on one side, a very athletic center back on the other side, but I also need them to be intelligent enough to be, hey, can I pass the ball? How am I with duels? Because I'll be exposed a lot more. So I have to be really good with take-ons, right? I have to be good in all these areas where I'm not just a defender first, but I'm also part of the team and I can break lines with my passes and I can make sure that I can recover and I have all these abilities. Vardiol is 21, I believe. If not, he's 22. Yes. Somewhere in the very early 20 range.
Who we're linked with him too.
As a left center back at Leipzig and is flourishing in that position.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm going for a left center back on that side is because I'm bringing over a right center back who's right footed with maybe somewhat similar attributes in the sense that they're both quick and they're both strong and they're both, you know, like good defenders who can win their... And not that aerial duels is the most important, because in a back three, mobility is more important than aerial duels.
Yes.
However, being able to recover and win your duels and win your take-ons and, you know, hold your line are all very, very important assets to have when you're playing in a back three. And at 20 to 22 years old, somewhere in that range, I forget off the top of my head, he embodies those characteristics.
100%. Nathan, you marked something very important there, okay?
Tell me.
With the transition, with knowing you have a little bit more freedom to play on these center back positions that you can push forward. The biggest attribute I feel in the three center back position, especially not for necessarily for the middle where it's the first center back, but I'm talking left and right center back, is their transition from becoming a center back to a center defensive midfielder. Okay. Pushing forward and being able to distribute the ball better is really important. If we think about it right now, Christensen, who even plays on the Danish team, was a really, really good center mid or center defensive mid when he plays for
him.
He doesn't play center back. And if you think about it, Rudiger, we all know what Rudiger does when he drives right into the box because of his...
Right.
And he can come back and win the ball in that midfield area. So that transition and being able to do that and having the right personnel to do that, I think that is a rare attribute by itself, right? So that's why it's important to find players that can transition to these positions. Back in the day, David Luiz was also one of those players who could do that stuff. And he's played a couple of times.
Right.
And Marquinhos is another player that is amazing at doing that stuff, right?
Yep.
So I think that's a good point as well. I agree. Those are two really good shouts, I feel, in my book. On the other side, right center back. Now, with my center back, bro, you know, Chelsea's been linked with a lot of center backs. I know that, obviously. But I think going more of the physical side, and I'm also looking at money, right? If the price is right, let's do it, you know? There's been talk, $40 million pounds for Koulibaly. Listen, let me see why
you and him on that side. Okay.
Yes, okay.
Tell me more.
Now, I think Reece James and Koulibaly are going to break some ankles and legs too, right?
They're playing on the same side next season? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But it's another thing is that we've seen what Koulibaly does, and Koulibaly isn't per se as the guy like a Rudiger where he's going to freaking burst it, but he's going to win you the ball. He's going to win you the ball, and then he already did it with Senegal in the two center back position. He bossed it, bro. Like absolutely bossed it. Taking the ball, he just sweeps it, takes it, kicks it out. Koulibaly's right on the aging side, but I think he is in his prime right now. And I think £40 million or however much would be a steal for a player with that quality. I don't disagree.
I think Koulibaly will definitely be on the move this summer. I'll let you continue.
Then
I'll tell you about what I think about Koulibaly there.
Okay. Definitely. Because listen, the Koulibaly is definitely interchangeable with Thiago Silva as playing the rock hard, solid center back for sure. I definitely get that, but listen, at the end of the day, we got to be a little bit realistic here. And we also need our younger players to play, whether it be Chalobah playing right center back, whether it be Colwell next year coming back from Rome playing right center back. There has to be some sort of youth coming in because there's only so much we could do.
Right.
Signing two huge players like this, one of them with world-class potential, the other one, I wouldn't say world-class, but definitely on the brink of world-class. He's a very good player. He's like up there, right? And he can play on a Champions League final. Rock solid. 100%. That's why I just went with those two. Yeah, that's fair.
Listen, my reservations with that is that I actually think that makes for a really nice defensive partnership in a back four if Thiago Silva wasn't there. Mm-hmm. I have reservations about Koulibaly in a back three, especially on one side of a back three. If he was the center staple, I might say, okay, I can see that because he's solid enough to control that.
Correct.
But and even though he's athletic and he's a monster and all those things, I don't know that Koulibaly has the same kind of characteristics that you would want for a defender in a back three as you would for somebody in a back two. Now, I understand what you're saying. I mean, on paper, that is rock solid. And he's a very, very good cover
for Reece James, who's constantly
bombing up the pitch.
Yeah.
However, I brought in Jules Koundé as well, but to play on this side, because Jules Koundé is very much a perfect defense. Like he's Aspilicueta, right? He's like he's the same size.
Yeah, literally.
He's not too tall. He was athletic. I mean, and obviously he's more athletic than Aspilicueta is currently. But what Aspilicueta was back in the day, you remember when he was playing left back?
They just
brought him in, right? Like he would just play wherever you need him to. Koundé is right-footed. He can play right back. He can play center back. He can play in a two or a three. I would love to see, you know, Thiago Silva help elevate players like Koundé and Vardiol on either side of him, especially when both of these, especially the ones who I'm bringing in on either side, the right center back and the left center back in a back three, embody characteristics that are wonderfully mirrored, right? Because one of them is very good, like left-footed, but we know that Koundé can surge forward into midfield. He can make those bursts forward, and that's a little bit opposite of the way Chelsea play currently, because you're right, Rudiger is more prone to doing that than Aspilicueta is. And now you would have switched them. So I see why you'd want Koundé on the left side there. I just think that the way that this team is balanced now is that either of the two center backs could kind of compensate for whichever one wanted to go forward. So this gives Chelsea a little bit more versatility in attack to say, okay, if Koundé wants to be the one to drive up the pitch here, then no problem, because I can have Vardiol and Thiago Silva now playing in almost like a two covering for this space. And then the same if Vardiol was to go forward, then I have Koundé and Thiago Silva to always be, you know, these pieces lurking around. And then the three of them together, listen, I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
This is where
Koulibaly has, you know, you have a better claim with Koulibaly. Chelsea are going to be introducing largely an entirely new backline next season, which means having those senior players is probably going to be imperative so that it's not too big a jump. I'm just putting my faith in these players and how good they are at their age, investing in the youth to say, I don't think that these are the players who are going to be lost because they're young coming in. I think they're going to be really good from really early on and are only going to get better.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with it. But like we said, experience is a big thing. Youth isn't a problem for Chelsea. I think we have a lot of youth prospects. And there's a lot of players that we still, you know, I get like we're looking outside, but why we are in a grateful position to look inside of Chelsea.
You're right. Chelsea's
you know,
academy's
like
wonderful.
we've reached a point after all these years of looking and getting and all that that we're like, no, we can definitely do a Liverpool model. We can get a bunch of players inside the youth. From the youth, we have talented players playing everywhere. Look at Conor Gallagher, bro. He wouldn't even been called up. So,
and I want to bring some of them up actually, because and the reason is because I actually brought in some cover too. Now, the cover who I think should be introduced gradually into the first team for Chelsea is, you mentioned him earlier, Levi Colwill, because he's a very, very good player who embodies those. He's left footed, he's 6'3", he's solid, like he can grow into this position too in a back three. Exactly. But I don't think he's ready coming from the championship to flourish in a Champions League team. I think he needs time to adjust. And luckily for him, the person who I brought in at left center back is already used to playing in the Champions League and playing like first team senior minutes at that kind of level, which, you know, long term you can deal with it as you need to with who you want to invest in if you can only keep one, you know, 2-3 years down the line. But for now, I think it makes sense. On the other side, the person who I have to cover for Koundé is Chaloba, right? Trevor Chaloba. I think is a decent like cover option for Jules Koundé with how many games you're going to play without necessarily commanding those first team minutes, because we all know who's better between Koundé and Chaloba.
Yeah.
Right.
Like definitely.
Now, the player who we didn't mention who probably needs the most cover here is Thiago Silva, who automatically we both resigned to the fact that he's a starter in the squad because he'll continue to be. But we can't continue to invest in a 37-year-old in a rebuild.
100% not. No.
Right? Did you bring in a cover option for Thiago Silva?
It was going to
like
be...
Like specifically for him?
Yeah, it was specifically for... It would have been Koulibaly, right? But it's either that or De Ligt. I don't think we can get both.
Wow. Yeah. No, of course. Right. Yeah. That's so interesting. Okay, I didn't bring in someone that high profile. I brought in somebody deliberately a little bit lower on the profile ratings who would be a little bit cheaper.
Yeah.
But you could probably make a strong case for it to say, listen, you're the heir to Thiago Silva in this back line under Tuchel because he's becoming very, very well known at Torino. His name is Gleison Bremer. Mm-hmm. And he was like the Serie A defender.
Bremer, the Brazilian guy. He's sick.
The Brazilian guy. Yeah. And he probably wouldn't cost more than like somewhere in the low
30
to mid
million,
30s.
Bro. He's 30 million.
Which would be a perfect signing to replace Thiago Silva eventually and cover for those minutes. Because listen, he's not the greatest long passer in the world.
No.
But he's very composed on the ball. His positioning is excellent. And he loves to kind of burst forward and attack, right? Not burst forward by carrying the ball, but like intercepting play when things are kind of happening in front of him. He's not shy to do that. And so I think if you bring in a player like that who understands, listen, you're going to be a rotation piece, but we're going to have a lot of games to play. So you're definitely going to get the minutes that you're looking for. You're just going to be the understudy to Thiago Silva. And long-term, you will be his successor. Mm-hmm. And then you could have a back three in a few years of 25-year-old Vardiol Bremer, who's now going to be like 28. And then Koundé, bro, that's a rock-solid back three for years to come. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, you know what, bro? That's a very good shout. I think looking into under profile, we don't need large profile players. There's a lot of good talent.
Well, you have a few, right? Like Koundé is going to be one.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure we're going to have some more throughout
like
the team.
Like Koulibaly, we need two, right? At least in defense. Now, wing back, I only have one person to say for both backs. I think the fullback position is an okay cover per se. Like we could bring back Emerson and all that. But a shout would be Marcelo, actually. So
Marcelo, Real Madrid's Marcelo?
Yeah.
Marcelo? Okay, bro. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
wow. Interesting. Okay, tell me.
Marcelo's 33, 34, right?
You love them old Brazilians, eh?
I love them Brazilians, bro. I love him. But
tell me more.
Listen, Marcelo isn't the paciest guy, I get that. But technically, like technical ability-wise, he's really good, right? Mm. And Alonso wasn't the fastest guy ever, definitely not. But on the ball, he was really good. I think Marcelo's Alonso's a poor man's Marcelo, to be honest. So why not bring a Marcelo and just as a cover, bro? Like he wasn't playing in Madrid, he wasn't starting nothing.
Right.
But as a good depth option, you got like five or six Champions Leagues, bro. Put him in, bro. Yeah. Like just to cover it. I'm sure Chilwell will learn something for freaking Marcelo, bro.
Of course.
Like 100%. So why not bring someone in like that works well with Thiago Silva, bro. I'm telling you, connect the dots, bro. It's a Brazil. You know what? Every day I'm thinking,
it's a decent shot, Joe.
I'm like, Nathan is right. Maybe Brazil is gonna win the World Cup because they're
Are you saying what I'm saying, Joe?
Talented, bro. Brazilians, like, see this. Like, they're so good. So right. I think Marcelo, really good. He'd do the same thing as Felipe Luis when he came in. One season, win a trophy, kind of cut. But he brings experience.
And you're losing a lot of experienced defenders. I don't hate that shout for that reason. I think experience-wise and understanding, like, you have an understudy role is probably pretty important.
Yeah.
I've gone the complete opposite direction here, Joe.
Tell me.
I reverted back to an old Jerswell episode that we did that was called, like, 10 high-profile young talents ready to take the next step. It was called something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Where I looked at Hoffenheim's David Rom and went, yo, this guy's a baller. This dude averages, like, in a calendar year, had more assists than Trent with the most sprints in the Bundesliga, who is a perfect Thomas Tuchel wingback. And he's not that far off from what Chilwell is. He's just, like, this was his first, like, really, really good season. And I think coming in under a German coach in a system that he could be a wingback, especially one that's going to be playing along with Chilwell, like, not necessarily at the same time, obviously, because they're both playing in the same position. But Chelsea's, like, strongest weapon was taken from them this season, right? Your wingbacks were your width, which created a lot of chances for you.
Yep,
and they were injured for almost the entire season.
Yep.
And God forbid something happens to one of them again. I'm thinking, damn, who would be a guy who could step in that moment and grow as a player week after week after week and become a player with fantastic crossing and ridiculous energy and willingness to run? Mm-hmm. Like, that's David Rahm. That's also Ben Chilwell. So if you have two players of a similar profile, they can rotate these minutes among, like I said, a very, very, very busy schedule that's coming next season.
Yeah.
And don't forget, Chilwell's coming off an injury, which means I think you have to be looking for somebody who's a little bit more ready to start and take over games. And I think David Rahm, as I pitched a few weeks ago, if not months ago, he's a player ready to take that next step next season, but not necessarily one who walks into a Champions League starting 11. I'm not pitching that he is. I'm pitching that he is the understudy or the cover or the other player to play for Chelsea's very, very important wingback position here, because he does a lot of what Chilwell does, just maybe not at the same level of consistency that we've seen it from Chilwell, but one that you knew that if you had to rely on him, he could deliver.
No, very good shot, bro. Very good shot. Honestly, yeah, Chilwell's coming off an injury. So is Reece James. Listen, man, the backline's not looking good this season. I'm going to be honest. I don't think
We just made it look good.
We made it look good. But, like, I'm worried. I get it. But, you know, it's got to happen, bro. When is it going to happen? Like, I'm not going to wait another year to sign, oh, we finally got the replacement of the replacement of the like, come on.
Yeah.
So go all out. Let him flesh. You know, I'm not expecting them to be like 100% on the first game. I'm actually expecting us to concede a lot of goals while they understand what their position is. Because this is two center backs alone by itself. This is crazy.
In a back three, is 67% of your defense.
Yeah,
here,
yeah.
Of your starting defense is out the door.
All right. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I think I don't know. We'll see. We'll see.
A right wing back, Joe. Tell me a right wing back.
Honestly, Nathan.
Did you bring in anybody here?
No. And I'll tell you why. I think I have a strong feeling Aspie's going to stay. And
okay.
And I think in that case, well, I'm like kind of betting that he's going to stay, you know, like gambling's not good, guys. Don't gamble.
Right.
But I'm gambling here that it's that he's going to stay.
The financial advisor about high risk.
Things. I know, right? And if he stays, he just does the job. Listen here, at the end of the year, I want to compete. I get it. But, like, I'm being a little bit too realistic here, just saying, like, let's just get the job done. We need to bring in
youth. I think that's fair, though.
Yeah. Like, and he does the job, man. You know, and he has. Absolutely. And this
does it well. Won everything there is to win at Chelsea.
Exactly. So if we do get someone like Koulibaly or Koundé or whatever, he has cover. He has cover now. Mm. So, like, a very good cover. I think Christensen defensively wasn't the best coverage in that position, to be fair to them, to him. So,
no, of course not. A wingback.
So I know. And
a 6'4 wingback.
6'4 wingback. Come on, bro. So let's see how it goes. I didn't bring anyone. Did you bring someone?
Honestly, no. I think Reece James, like we always want to assume health. I just think that hopefully, like Chelsea were so injury plagued this season.
Bro, we were every plague, bro. We had like, right,
like if Reece James is fit, he's your starting wingback without question. Should be playing almost 38 games a season. And then who should be his backup? I think Callum Hudson-Odoi. I think Cal Tech still is that dude who can't necessarily maybe get into the front three and that kind of dynamic they have in attack, but is a damn good understudy for a runner and a crosser.
Correct.
Which is a very like poor man's description of what Reece James does, because obviously he's a lot more than that. But to do a job, that's what you need an understudy to do. I think that Callum Hudson-Odoi, when fit, still offers a lot, and I would personally deploy him a little bit deeper in the pitch because I think he doesn't necessarily have the same like world-class attacking characteristics that some of the other Chelsea players have
up there.
So let's drop him into a little bit deeper. We can still get forward and score goals. Bro, Reece James at one point was your top goal scorer and assister, right?
Like, yeah.
It's not that position for Chelsea gets nothing.
Yeah.
It's part of the system, and that position offers a lot. And he's a very good crosser. He's fantastic with his take-ons, and the boy can run.
Yeah.
And so it's like that's pretty much exactly what you need to cover for that position.
It's a Callum Hudson-Odoi redemption arc this year. So let's see how
it goes.
Yeah. Yeah,
Caltech. All right, bro. Now we have to move into the center of midfield, where Chelsea also had a lot of problems this season. So we kind of talked about this off the top of the show. You can either, I don't know what you did here. I don't know if you went for new starters. I don't know if you went for a big superstar signing and then one, you know, somebody else. Tell me, who do you got? And then I'll tell you who I brought in, because I think you're going to like the moves that I made, Joe.
No, honestly, Nathan, midfield is kind of like a gray area. I don't even think Chelsea know what to do with this this area
Luckily, I do. I'm happy to help.
I know you are, bro. Of course. What a nice guy. But listen, no, now so I know we've been talking Declan Rice and all that, and he's a great cover, and he's 100 million something. Okay, I get it. Yep. I get it. But I'm just a little bit worried about that. You know, another 100 million player, I think I'm going to have another heart attack, to be honest with you.
Yep.
So I don't know, Nathan, do you have a safe option for me? Please give me like,
I don't want splash.
I don't want to splash.
All right, bro. So let me tell you what I did.
Okay.
The first thing that I did is I invested in N'Golo Kanté. All right. Okay. And the reason is that Thomas Tuchel said, this guy is our De Bruyne. This dude is our Van Dijk.
Yeah.
This is our most important player. And I believe him when he says that.
100%.
I think he's saying that partially to remind Kanté of like, the only reason that you don't get the right now that like every minute of every game is because you've been injury prone.
Yeah.
And like I said off the top of the show, this style of player can often get into trouble when they get to the latter stages of their career because they've been running for their entire career.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, that being said, when your coach is saying, this is still, however, my most important player, I think the assumption is that when healthy, you will still be the starter for this team,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I have him and Kovacic rotating in this position, all right? But my starting 11 has N'Golo Kanté. I still think he's crucial to the squad. He's a proper difference maker. And when fit, hopefully, if he's going to miss the rest of the Nations League, hopefully he takes a good like 3 weeks off and 100%, can recover.
Please.
And then as the season builds, can make himself a bigger part of the team.
Yes.
Because it may even be good for France and for Chelsea if Kanté starts to get a little bit more injured, because then Tchouaméni can start to pick up those minutes for the national team, and then Kanté can actually rest during the month of December.
Please.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I'd love that.
Right? Because I love N'Golo Kanté, bro. I have his Leicester jersey up here.
Yeah, bro.
Right? Up here, bro.
Up there, I see.
Right? I've been a fan of N'Golo Kanté for a long time. However, a player like this, as you know, with my center midfields, especially in a tandem like this, I like to make sure that I have like a player who can work very hard and then a player who can do a little bit more things with the ball. Joe, I can't lie to you. I did splash. I splashed in midfield. I think as important as replacing all the center backs that you have is going out and getting Declan Rice. Because even though I think that there are other options, and I've identified some of them, I still think priority A has to be go get Declan Rice. And I understand not wanting to spend 100 mil on a player. I wouldn't want to do it either.
After the season we've had, bro.
It's different.
Yeah.
Hold on. But here's why. I don't think Declan Rice is a very risky signing at 100 million. I think that's West Ham's valuation, and that's fine. But it's way more of a smart investment into your club to bring in Declan Rice to the heart of your midfield than it is to bring in Jack Grealish to be part of City's attack, right? And I use that contrast because that's the most recent $100 million signing we've seen.
Yeah.
Right? Grealish came in. There's a lot more risk bringing in an attacking player to a system like that. How's he going to fit in? Where's he going to play? Is he going to play? Right? Is he going to be able to deliver on the pitch? Are his deliverables and objectives going to be worth the same as goals and assists? Right? Is that what the manager is expecting? Is that what he's expecting? There's a lot of questions.
100%.
For Declan Rice, there's not a whole lot of those questions. It's like, listen, we have to pay what we have to pay, but you are going to single-handedly elevate our midfield to a caliber that we can start to take hold of games again. Mm-hmm. And whether we're pairing you with Kovacic, which is a fantastic partnership, by 100%. The way. Kovacic and Rice. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, good luck, every other team, getting the freaking ball. Those guys are going to be swarming you every chance they get.
Yeah.
But the levels that Declan Rice has come on this season as a passer, as a leader, as a captain, and as a ball carrier is why I think it's a smart investment for them to go out and sign him, because he can do whatever you need him to do.
Correct.
If you need him to be the guy to push up in a center, while somebody else is going to cover him, he can do that. If you need him to say, Declan, like, we're injured at the back, please go fill in back there. No problem. If you need him to lock down the midfield when you're losing and put like a Mason Mount as the other person in a two to say, bro, go push. Declan's going to cover the base here. He can do that as well. There's very, very little that Declan Rice can't do. And while I don't think he's the best center midfielder in the world by any stretch, and while I don't necessarily agree that he's worth $100 million, I think that that price tag will always be on his back and every pundit's going to be coming at him.
Yeah.
I think the fact that he's such a good leader and that he continues to elevate his game, and the fact that you're putting him next to a player like N'Golo Kanté, who's going to enable him to display more of the abilities that he needs to show to justify the price tag, for all those reasons, I don't think it's risky to spend that kind of money on that kind of player.
Yeah, bro. You know what? I agree. You know, the last... you know, we signed a good English West Ham player once, and his name was Frank Lampard.
Mm.
So, I'm not saying anything, but you never know. I mean, he's 22.
Just want to remind the people.
He's 22. I just want to tell the people, like, we take West Ham's players and we make them good. So,
and then they take Kurt Zouma.
Kurt Zouma,
they take your players.
And he kicks the cat. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Sounds like a you problem, West Ham. Come on, you Irons. Yeah. Stupid. Okay. Anyway. stupid chant.
So, what do you think? What do you think of the Rice shout,
bro? Listen, I think it's a realistic shout. Actually, I don't think he's gonna go to United. I don't think he's gonna go to City. I don't think he's gonna. No one's.
Gonna no, I don't think he'll go to City either.
Arsenal never. And
that's not even a step up, bro.
Spurs, bro. Yeah, I know exactly.
That's not even linked. Yeah, it would be either. It's really which project are you more invested in, that of United or that of Chelsea?
And he's
a boyhood Chelsea fan, right? Like,
but I'd also,
plus this is a Champions League squad.
Yeah, exactly. I think I trust in our project a little bit more. No offense, Mina, of course, but like, I just feel,
well, it's just, I think you're closer to where you want to be than they are.
Yeah, no,
though you have all the defensive problems, there's less turmoil at Chelsea, even with the manager signing, because we just won the Champions League. Like last year, we won the Champions League. It's not like we're far away from winning those things. And it's players like Declan Rice who will make up the gap across 38 weeks.
You know what? Listen, I think we got a good pull and we can pull players like that. But the funds need to be there. And $200 million, if we're doing 50% already on one player, do we have enough to sign Koulibaly? Do we have enough to sign Koundé? And do we have enough
to cover
those players and selling players. Right. I get that. But bro, Nathan,
selling players too.
Yeah. How much are we going to sell? You know, like, I don't think we're going to get like $70
million. You can't sell too much. I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. When we get to the attack, I might suggest how you can make up some serious money to not dent the $200 million just through sales, how you can fund largely what Declan Rice can offer.
Yeah, definitely. Go on.
I have a backup. I have an alternative option.
Let's hear it.
I actually have a few alternative options. Really, as what is the other target for Declan Rice? Mm-hmm. One of them I've placed in the range of the 25 to 35 million, which is a substantial step off from 100.
Yeah.
And then I've got another one, which is going to be free. Okay. So I got lots of options here for you.
Wow. Okay. Free.
The next one is looking at Yuri Tillemans. All right. Bro. Now in a system that has Yuri Tillemans cannot be a six, but in a system where he has a ball winner next to him, a recoverer, a ground coverer, like an N'Golo Kanté, like, you know, the energizer that is Kovacic, it enables Yuri Tillemans to do what Yuri Tillemans does best, which is dictate the flow of games. And a player like this in a two we've seen before is sometimes a scary prospect. However, in the twos that we've seen him in, it's been with a player who is not an N'Golo Kanté, right? Like when he plays next to Wilfred Ndidi, for example, he's excellent. And Leicester have had so many injury problems this season that it's lowered his valuation substantially. Mm-hmm. But the levels that he can still reach, being the player that he is, he's also a very good carrier. He's also a terrific long passer. He's great at getting out of tight spaces and carrying the ball forward and surging attacks forward with forward balls. Like Yuri Tillemans, people sleep on him and he can hit bangers, Joe. And that's such a good factor when you're trying to build, like, grow the brand, because you have a player who can freaking hit bangers. Hey, and you're like, damn, that guy's good. right? Which is why I rate him so highly. He wouldn't necessarily deliver everything that he would deliver different things, but not necessarily everything that I mentioned with Declan Rice. However, even if you had the money to somehow get both, I think Yuri Tillemans being added to this squad would be phenomenal.
I feel like you overrate this guy a little bit, Nathan.
Okay, I think you underrate him, Joe. Tell me.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think you watched a bad season.
I don't rate him. I'm shocked. I just don't think. I think he's too slow on the ball. I think, yeah, he can score screamers. Great. But what else can he do? I feel he can get picked off the ball very easily, actually, which is scary. Mm. You know, Jorginho, first season, I'm not saying he was amazing because he got it a lot more too. But, like, I don't want another midfielder that can get the ball, like, just dispossessed so easily, especially on a two.
Right.
So that's my biggest issue with Tillemans.
I understand that reservation. Yeah. I do. However, I will offer you technical quality versus your fear and say, which one do we value more? Because again, if we're going to go off what we just saw, then I understand your concern. However, I would also point into the direction of what happened with Leicester this season, right? Ndidi was out for the entire season. Yeah. Fofana was out for the entire season. Like, the players around him that enabled the best version of Yuri Tillemans were not there. Mm-hmm. And so Yuri Tillemans was forced to do a job that he normally wouldn't. And we saw he couldn't deliver on what those expectations were.
Correct.
Of him. However, that's not what I'm asking him to do in this squad. I've seen Yuri Tillemans in a two. It's not my favorite thing in the world. However, seeing him in a two with a player who is worth two, right? Like in N'Golo Kante, right? Mm-hmm. Like a Kovacic, who covers so much ground. It is so energetic and is such a good outlet to get to whenever necessary. It enables Yuri Tillemans to do what he does best. And I don't have fear over that, bro. I really believe that he can. I understand the slowness on the ball. I'm not saying he's perfect. Like I said, this is why he's the step off from Declan Rice.
Correct.
Right? But he's not a player who I think you have to worry about tremendously because he can totally dictate the flow of a game when he has the pieces around him. And this is why I've placed him as the backup option. I haven't said Yuri Tillemans for president here. I've said go break the bank for Declan Rice.
Yeah.
And then Yuri Tillemans is another good option to have in and around that area.
100%.
Because he's going to be a starter somewhere else. Yeah. Maybe he won't be at Chelsea. Okay. But I still think there are levels for him to get to that he can unlock when he has the team around him. And I think what we're doing here is building that team.
100%. Okay, I see that, Chow. And I'm
right.
I think it's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
The free option, and the last one that I'll mention here, is Connor Gallagher, which is just coming back from loan. That's free.
Free.
That's $0. Yeah. That won't deliver the same quality as Tillemans or as Rice, which is why it's the free option.
Yeah.
However, it's a great midfield addition depth piece to introduce into the squad.
Exactly. Yeah.
Even if you don't bring anyone else in.
Yep.
Just because he'll understand the system and he'll be able to deliver because he's had to work his ass off at Palace.
He's going to get minutes. For himself,
and he's done a very good job.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to get minutes.
100%. I agree with everything you say. Going forward now.
Let's move into the attack, bro, as we round out the show. We're coming around third here.
I know. Now,
talk to me about this attack.
Let me talk. First of all, funds-wise, I think we can get 80 to 90 million for both Timo Werner and Hakim Ziyech because I think each one can sell for 40 million. Okay, if we do sell them both, right?
You want to sell them both?
I don't want to sell them at all. But that's why I'm not in charge because
you don't want to keep them against their will.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too emotionally attached. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Attacking option, Nathan, there is only one name. And every day I think about it, I think this name is the perfect player to play striker because of the way we play and the things we ask from our strikers. And your man, Gabriel Jesus, is the best player.
Wow, interesting. Where would he be playing in your front three?
Striker. I'm telling you.
Wow, interesting. Okay. I don't disagree, but I want you to tell me more.
Gabriel Jesus does exactly what we need him to do. Link up play. Mm. Okay.
Work hard.
You know who's second to that? Link up play wise? Bobby Firmino. I think he'd be good in that position. He'd be a perfect player. That's what I mean, bro. I'm telling you. Listen, Gabby G, he's good.
Yeah.
He can finish, first of all.
Wonderful.
Okay.
At times,
to be fair. But his work rate and his link of play, that's all we need from him. Yes, he's a little bit selfish, but what does Chelsea need? We need a little bit of selfishness because of
Don't know if he's super. I don't know if that's the word I would use to describe him.
Really?
I think the thing is with Gabby, I think it's at times that maybe it's just a fault of the Pep system that he's trying to like overcompensate at times.
Yeah.
But I think what he has been guilty of is being the striker in a strikerless system. And I put this whole thing in the in quotation marks here because Gabby's everywhere on the pitch.
Everywhere.
Except for where you need him to be. Exactly. And I think if you're looking for somebody to put the ball in the net, I don't know that Gabby is going to be that guy because Gabby loves to get on the ball, which is why I asked you where you were playing him in your front three. Because at times, the front three for Chelsea isn't a left winger and a right winger. Yeah. It's two eights and right that are just playing ahead of two sixes. So if Gabby here is playing in something of like a Mason Mount kind of role, like a hybrid 10 slash false nine, not false nine, but like second striker type of player.
Hear me out.
I could see him being part of that team. But as a designated striker, I don't know if I agree.
Hear me out, Nathan. We all know.
And I love Gabby.
I know.
I love Gabby, right? Gabby's my boy.
We all know our striker isn't really a striker, okay? Mm. It is a center forward. Let's not beat 100%, around the bush, 100%. Right? Yep. I'm telling you why it doesn't matter because, Nathan, we are hopefully getting Ousmane Dembele. And when Dembele comes, and as much as he's always hurt and stuff, Mark said it best. Spanish teams have the worst medical team on earth. I don't care. I don't care. Everyone's injured for years there, and they suck. And Barcelona's guilty of having the worst, bro. You know what? They gave Sergio Aguero a heart attack. Just saying,
bro. I think is interesting about this about Barca is that apparently the best hospitals in the world are in Barca. I think it's just that they're so desirable that all the players want to go there.
Exactly.
They'd rather be in the hospitals of Barcelona. Maybe they have the finest nurses in the entire world, bro. I have no idea.
The best food on.
They're clearly, everybody wants to be there. Everybody tears their knee. Where are they going? Barcelona.
That's it. There you go.
I'm glad you brought up Ousmane Dembele because I've brought up a few options. Now, I should tell you, the person leading the line for me, I think you already have him, Joe. It's Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz is growing as a player.
Yeah, he's great.
Kai Havertz is growing as a player big time. And he has like, I'm not just world-class potential, but like real, like best in the world type potential in that position.
You know what?
And there was a time when we didn't really know what he was because he could play everything. But as he hones in on a position where he, at one point he was a second striker or a 10 or an
now,
8. I think it's
so
like, no, you
good,
are a
bro.
9. Where Lukaku struggles is the fact Lukaku loves to be the big boy off the shoulder, bully people, smash it in, play in transition like that. Tuchel doesn't want to do that. Tuchel wants to do what Kai Havertz wants to do, which is have the ball, float around in areas, right? Link up play, build up, send it wide, come back, like just kind of drift into the positions as the 6'2". He's tall as hell, but he's thin. I think he's only two-dimensional. I think that's the thing with Kai Havertz. He's only two-dimensional. People don't see him coming when he turns his body. And then he turns back, boom, and he heads it in. Yeah. Right? Like he can be that player. Yeah. So I feel like we have to put other pieces around him that can succeed. And I didn't splash major cash in attack here because I told you where I spent my money.
Yeah,
I found an entirely new back line. I brought in depth pieces.
100%.
I brought in Declan Rice.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea already have a lot of great options in attack. They just don't have the guy. So what I did is I said, Kai Havertz, be my number 9. I said, Armando Broja, if you stay here, maybe you can be the like the backup to Kai Havertz. A very different type of player, which is actually a good thing. It's a good thing because it's a different option, right? Mm-hmm. It's bringing on like the hardworking running finisher, which is what Broja is, right? And he's not world class by any stretch, but maybe another player that you'd want kind of in the vicinity,
just like a
Divock Origi type of role.
Yeah, exactly.
Like come in, save the day kind of role. The two players I have around him to be like the wide slash inside midfielders, inside forwards are Mason Mount, which I think you love. That's your boy,
bro. Of course,
right? I think he has to stay in the starting
without
11,
a doubt
in some capacity.
Yeah.
I've taken into consideration what you said about Werner and about Ziyech, which is why I have neither of them in my starting 11. I'm going to assume that you've sold one, maybe that you're keeping one, mm-hmm. or at best you keep them, but for depth. I like the Ousmane Dembele shout. I also like Christian Pulisic, the idea of that. I have him currently being the player who's going to rotate with Mount. Mm-hmm. Ousmane Dembele, I've brought in tentatively because I actually have 3 potential targets for attack if you're looking for somebody.
Okay.
If Ousmane Dembele is the cream of the crop because he's a free agent and a player who at one time was worth over 100 mil, and I think he can still get back to that when he's healthy, because we've seen what he can do, bro. He played freaking less than half the season at Barca and finished with the most assists in La Liga. Like, he's a creative, two-footed,
he's amazing. He's really
thrilling,
good.
Yeah. Attacking, like not afraid to run at you and really shifty. He'll get right by you because he's so two-footed type of player. And he's already played for Tuchel. Like, he'll know what he has to do there. I think that's a brilliant idea. My reservation is, how is he as a second striker? Because if I'm going to rely a lot on Reece James to be the width bombing up and down the pitch, then maybe the person who I want is more of an inside forward. And so I've looked at two. One of them is Cody Gakpo,
okay,
coming from PSV.
Okay.
All right. This is a player who was involved in damn near 30 goals this year. Mm-hmm. Very two-footed. Can play anywhere in attack, but really operates very well as a left winger slash inside forward. Who, if you needed to, then Mount would play on the right side, whatever it is, somewhere in this attacking piece. Uh-huh. Chelsea are very fluid with these kind of inside forwards. So I haven't really identified a lock-in position for him. And I think that he'd be perfect to support a striker. Now, because you have Havertz, I don't know if this is going to get a little bit too clustered here. Because mm-hmm. he's not necessarily like the best ball player in the entire world. But he's come on. He reminds me a little bit of Heung-min Son.
Yeah, okay.
Right, where he can be the like second striker, but he's very explosive. He's very direct. He can put the ball in the net. He also creates chances. He'll get a shitload of assists. He's been involved. He had like 13 goals and 12 assists domestically.
Yeah.
And that's massive leaps on from where he's come, right? So I'm a big fan of him, and I think he would do better to jump into a system like Chelsea's rotation rather than being like the starter at Arsenal, for example, if he's looking for a new club, mm-hmm. because he would be surrounded by players where he would be able to elevate his game a lot more rather than be the focal point and not have to develop at that rate.
Yes.
Right. The other player that I brought in, Joe, and the last name that I'll mention for you today.
Tell me.
As the other option is, I have it right here. It is Pedro Gonzalez from Sporting.
From Sporting?
From Sporting.
Bro, this guy's giving me my Portuguese, my pork chops, bro.
Okay, Joe, how well has the pork chops settled into the Premier
League? Listen, let me tell you, bro. The Liga NOS needs an award for producing the best players the past like three,
bro,
4 years.
Rightfully bro. Kicking out France from that stupid Europe's top five leagues. Who needs Liga? And I love Liga. You know, I defend the hell out of Liga. The pork chops, bro, they're settling into England like the
crazy.
Think of how well
we got Rafinha. Bro, we got Diaz.
Ruben Diaz came in and he would right away, bro, like one of the best players in the league, yeah. right? When Luis Diaz came in, boom, right away, one of the best players in the league. Like these players are coming in. And this is why I think Liverpool, I think seeing that success, go spend the money on Darwin Nunez because they're like, clearly these boys are sick.
Yeah.
Right? Like clearly they'll fit in. But we don't even have concerns about that. Pedro Gonzalez has been deemed something of a Bruno Fernandes type player.
So yeah, I'll take him.
Where he's very explosive, very always looking for the forward run, maybe prone to go away, but hits long shots that are fantastic, very two-footed, open for crossing, like, you know, fantastic to get into the box or stay outside of it. So he offers a lot going forward, and he's a really good on anywhere in the front line, right? It's whether it be an attacking midfielder, a right winger, a second striker, or a left winger, right? One of the wingers. Having a player of this quality, who we know has succeeded in Liga NOS, having almost double digits goal and assists this season, I think settles in really nicely at Chelsea. And if Chelsea are not going to be the team that go out and get a designated goal scorer like a Harry Kane to go put the ball in the net 25 times a year,
yeah.
then what they have to look at is spreading out goals and chances throughout the team so that everybody can be involved, which is what City have done under Pep for the last like freaking 5 years. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea have the option to do that if they bring in players of this caliber. Because any of those players I just named, be it Cody Gakpo, be it Ousmane Dembele or Pedro Gonzalez, all of them can be a player with double digits goals and assists for Chelsea, which is just going to help them across 38 weeks and in tournaments.
100%. You know what, Nathan? Great shout. Depth pieces as well. Personally, I feel one or two players max would be brought in, or maybe one actually, because I do think
it's got to be more because of how many you're losing. I think that it'll be more and only because of how many you're losing.
Okay, fair. Replacement wise, fine. Two.
Yeah.
But I do feel like, you know, like you said, bro, Kai Havertz is a generational talent. And I think, you know, think of it now, maybe Gabby G, he's amazing. But I know the way Tuchel's thinking right now is probably like, no, I'm going all in on Kai Havertz. And actually in the beginning of the, at the end of the season, he even mentioned that Kai Havertz is the man, you know? So he even told Lukaku, bro, you suck. So get the hell out of here. Like, basically.
He doesn't fit the system.
He doesn't.
Doesn't fit the system.
And he can go cry about it. We would have put him work with Lukaku. That's totally fine. But little baby wanted to keep whining and shit. So, okay.
Well, Joe, I know you got to go. So let's wrap up. One final time, I want you to take me through your starting 11 for next season. What does it look like?
All right.
Tell me what that team looks like. From keeper and then go through defense, midfield, and then attack. And then I'll do the same and we'll wrap it up.
We've got Mendy, Marcelo. Yep. No, I'm kidding. Chilwell. Chilwell, Koundé, Thiago Silva, Koulibaly, Reece James. Center mids, we have N'Golo Kanté and Declan Rice. Okay. All right. We're going to go with that. And
I've convinced you.
Yeah, you've convinced me, right?
I like it.
Forward. I think we are going to go Mason Mount, Ousmane Dembele, and a striker. It's between Gabriel Jesus and Kai Havertz. That's it. I'm
going to leave it. Wow. I like it, bro. Hell of a team that you've made there. Yeah, I'll go through mine. I have Mendy and Ned as well. Ben Chilwell, left back. Vardiol as left center back. Thiago Silva, Jules Koundé, and then Reece James. Okay. That evens out the back line.
Center mid.
Then I have Declan Rice and N'Golo Kanté as the two center mids. Ahead of them, Mason Mount, Ousmane Dembele. But like I said, bro, don't forget Pedro Gonzalez or Cody Gakpo. I would like either of them as alternatives to Ousmane Dembele. And then as the starting number 9/center forward to link all this together is Kai Havertz.
Boom! Let's see.
That's the squad, bro.
Bro, we got to recap this at the beginning of the season. See how many we got. One out of nobody.
Nah, bro. We got to send this to them. We got to be like, listen, we did your job for you, man.
Yeah, bro.
This is like long-term success. We've already done it. We've done it with so many clubs now, Joe. Bro, I love doing this each and every week. Bro. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed episode number 147 of the Jersey Wall podcast. As always, I've been your host, Mr. Nathan Santos. And with me today, Joe L. Ashkar. Joey, where can we find more from you on social media?
Already at joeking.__baby, all socials.
Boom. You can find me on Instagram at the Nathan Santos and everywhere else at Master Chef Nay, including on YouTube for special bonus clips and bro talks of the Jersey Wall podcast. Also find me at Master Chef Nay on TikTok, where you can find TJW Bites, the fastest growing hashtag in the history of the internet. As of today, 305,000 views, bro.
Holy God, bro.
We're massive, bro. We're just gigantic.
Bro, 305,000. That's insane.
That's how many. Don't forget to follow the Jersey Wall podcast on Instagram at TJW Podcast. And if you like what we're doing here, please feel free, leave a rating, a review, subscribe to us, follow us, share it with your friends, tell somebody about it. We love having you. We love growing the TJW community each and every week. And we really, really appreciate you all. With that, that's going to wrap it this week, guys. We love you. We thank you so much. And we'll see you next time right here on the Jersey Wall podcast, baby.
Woohoo!